If you would, let us all rise to the reading of God's Word as Betty comes forward.
Who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions." And from the Gospel of Matthew, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." The word of the Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. If you would, let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for our gathering here together. And as your infallible and your inerrant word has been read, we again hear a preached, a spoken word from you to us. Lord, no longer are we to seek, Lord, your word through private visions and private prophecies, that, Lord, you speak directly to us through the proclamation and the reading of your word. So, Lord, we pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to come as our comforter, to not only comfort us, but to illuminate for us the truth of your word, especially as we learn this morning that the sort of discernment that we need to distinguish a false prophet, a false preacher or teacher, Lord, that's a spiritual discernment, and your word is spiritually discerned. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd open our eyes to see. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Now, if you go back and you remember in October, during Reformation Sunday, I had preached on the topic of Reformed, or more correctly, Reformational preaching, because Reformation is a little different from Reformed. I shared with you that one of the characteristics of Reformational or Reformed preaching is that it's polemical. You remember that? And the word polemical comes from the Greek word. It comes from the word polemikos, which means warlike, it means hostile, it means just basically the idea of just being at war. And the Reformers believed that biblical preaching is always an act of war where the Word of God is wielded as a sword. And in Ephesians 6, 11 through 24 and 17, Paul the Apostle, in that book, and by the way, if you want to study the book of Ephesians, Sandy has a class where she teaches that book. But in the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. And listen to what he says about the warfare. Verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against, as he says, the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day," in the evil day. "And having done all to stand," look what he says in verse 14, "stand therefore the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now notice something here, that the Word of God in that context is the only offensive weapon that we have against the devil, against spiritual forces of evil. It is the only weapon that can tear down what Paul describes as strongholds of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, Paul says this when he speaks of these strongholds. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the" what? "The knowledge of God. and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Notice something here from Corinthians. Notice that the strongholds that ought to be torn down by the Word of God are what? Arguments and lofty opinions that raise themselves up against the knowledge of God. You've got true knowledge, which is from Scripture, read and preached, as well as false knowledge from false preachers and teachers. These strongholds are false teachers and false preachers. And understand this. The Reformers took this very seriously. During the time of the Reformation, how you viewed the Bible was the difference between life and death. I mean, people literally died over these type of things. Now, I'm not saying we should go have a holy war or go and have war, because as Paul says here, our battle is what? It's spiritual. Okay? But the Reformers took this idea of war very seriously. Now, where in the world would the Reformers get this sort of idea from? You may say, well, they got that from Paul. But where did Paul get this idea from? It's simple. Paul got this idea in general from the entire Old Testament scriptures, and in particular, he got this from Jesus. In our text of scripture this morning, Jesus is making his concluding remarks. Don't you love it when a preacher says, in conclusion, and never really gets around to it? Sometimes I can be accused of that. What Jesus says here, in conclusion. Now, last Sunday, he began his concluding remarks regarding decision between two roads. The decision between the broad road that leads to destruction and the narrow road that leads to life. And now Jesus continues on with these concluding remarks in his Sermon on the Mount. And today he concludes it with two types of prophets. On one end, you've got false prophets, which Jesus describes as diseased trees. Right? Versus true prophets, which he calls healthy trees. Now listen very intently this morning. Jesus calls all of us as Christians to be on guard against false prophets, false teachers, and false preachers. And he teaches us how we are to be on guard against these false prophets. So that's my two points of my sermon this morning is this. What is the character of a false prophet, teacher, preacher? Secondly, how do we discern them? Jesus says we know them by their fruit. So what are the things that we should look for? So this sermon here this morning is really Jesus' warning to us where he says, beware. So let's look at the first one. What is the character of a false preacher, a false prophet? Jesus says in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Where do they come from? Who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. That's a rough way of speaking about your enemy, right? Ravenous wolves. The first thing we notice here from Jesus, this is not a suggestion. This is, in fact, in the original language, in the grammar, it is an imperative. It is a command. He commands all of you here this morning, all Christians, to beware, to give heed to false prophets. This is not a blind, this is not a threat that has no bite to it. This is serious, Jesus says. And in fact, this in the original Greek in the verb construction is a present active verb. That means simply that Jesus is telling us that we have to be constantly on guard against false prophets and teachers. What Jesus is saying here is that we have to do due diligence and give due diligence when it comes to giving heed to false teachers and prophets. This means that false prophets will always be one of the greatest dangers to the church. The false preachers are one of Satan's best and most effective tool that he uses to attack the visible church in every single generation. I know what you're thinking. Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail, but does that mean we should take it easy? No. Understand that the visible church is also the church militant. We will always be doing war on this side of heaven. This is the way it has always been. In fact, Israel, the Old Testament church, had been subject to a constant stream of false prophets, always. And Jesus tells us here, as he looks back to the history of Israel, tells us that in fact false prophets will keep coming and coming and coming and coming. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 24:11, he says, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." Did you catch that? Many of you, many of us, in every generation, we'd be led astray. Remember this. Remember that the object of a false prophet is to lead the true people of God astray. Astray where? Astray from true biblical faith. Understand that one of the characteristics of false prophets is that they do not hear from God. They do not speak for God. They pretend to speak for God. They look like they speak for God. They sound like they speak for God. They pretend to be speaking from God, but it's not the case. But in reality, Jesus is saying they are lying prophets who speak for Satan. Satan himself. And also notice that Jesus describes them as what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." In other words, they look like sheep. They look like Christians. They look like you this morning. They look like me this morning. Some of them wear robes. Some of them have many degrees behind in the front of their name. These false prophets are not really your run-of-the-mill heretic. Understand, with the run-of-the-mill heretic, you can see that person a mile away, if you're a true Christian, by the way. Jesus does not have in mind here people like, say, some televangelists who promises you that if you sow a seed of $19.63, then God will bless you with a windfall profit of investment. You'll be able to buy that Lexus that you want. You'll be able to buy that big, beautiful house that you want. All you have to do is give to me and my ministry, and you will watch the blessings of God flooding into your life. Beloved, true Christians are never deceived by that. Let me just say, anyone can see someone like that coming a mile away. Jesus doesn't even have in mind here false preachers who preach false doctrines like religious pluralism that teaches that there's always different ways of salvation, that Jesus is one way, but there's other ways of salvation. Beloved, true believers are not deceived by that. If you're deceived by that, you're not a believer, by the way. That might be a mark for you. But I trust in this church, it doesn't exist. But Jesus is not even talking about those sort of preachers that preach obvious lies, or preachers, obviously, also who undermine the authority of God's word. A preacher gets in the pulpit, or a teacher says, "Well, the Bible is really a product of man. The Bible has flaws and contradictions. The Bible is legend and not truth." Beloved, but only a non-believer would be fooled by such things. But these are not the false teachers that Jesus is talking about. So true believers will not be taken in by these types. So what is the telltale sign or characteristic of a false prophet? Please write this down, if you will. He says nothing really wrong. The problem is, and what he is not what he says, but what he does not say. What he does not say. He preaches half-truths. He preaches nothing offensive. He comforts and soothes people, and he never warns people of judgment. That's the mark, biblically, of a false prophet. You never hear them say anything crazy. It's just what they leave out. The old saying, half-truth is a what? A full lie. And evidence is what we read this morning from Isaiah, and I'll read for you in Jeremiah. In the Old Testament, false prophets were rampant. And listen what it's recorded for us here in Jeremiah 6:14. It says, "They have healed the wound of my people," that is the false prophets, "lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no such peace? Beloved, that would be like you going to the emergency room and you've got a gaping hole in your heart and blood is just spewing and spewing, and the doctor looks at you and says, here's a Tylenol, here's a Band-Aid, go home, everything will be fine. Beloved, that's the sort of thing that these false prophets were doing in the Old Testament. Everything's fine, everything's okay, don't look at that, just stay in here. In Isaiah, we read this morning from Isaiah 30:10, where it says this, who say to the seer, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us what is right. Watch, speak to us. This is what the people wanted. Speak to us smooth things and prophesy illusions. False prophets are smooth with their words. They're able to bring illusions to people. Such preachers make people feel good. Such preachers make people feel contempt. Understand that false preachers accuse gospel preachers of being too harsh. They accuse us gospel preachers of being too negative. And when you hear a false preacher, you never walk away with a feeling of an ouch. Ever been preachers like that? You come over and over again and you never feel any sort of ouch. Paul says to the church of Corinth in chapter 11, 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of what? Of light. Beloved, this is why Jesus warns us to be aware of such false prophets, false teachers, false preachers. So there you go. That's the characteristic of these wolves in sheep's clothing. However, how do we recognize a false preacher? How do we recognize a false prophet? How do you know I'm not a false preacher? Well, Jesus says to do what? You'll know them by what? Your fruit. Look at verse 16. You will recognize them by their fruits. Then Jesus asks, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruits. Notice something here. Notice Jesus says that we can know or we can recognize them by their what? Fruits. Fruit. 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 In other words, the fruit of a tree tells us a lot about the root of a tree. Let me say that again. The fruit of a tree tells us a lot about the root of a tree. That is, our inner being is exposed by our outer being. And Jesus illustrates this by saying that just like you would not expect or anticipate grapes being on a thorn bush or figs on thistles, likewise, he says, you will not or not expect to find false preachers preaching the whole counsel of God. That's the key. The whole counsel of God, all of Scripture, is the fruit. And if a preacher is not preaching that, my friends, he is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Paul said it this way to the church of Ephesus in chapter 20 of Acts, beginning in 24. Paul had been laboring with this church, working with them for 3 years. He was getting ready to leave. And listen to what he says. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. That's the Bible. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Paul is talking to the elders of the church. The primary job of the elders is to watch over the teaching of the church, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. He says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And watch, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things. Beloved, this is talking about people within the church. Our enemy, these wolves in sheep's clothing, is not outside the church, but within the church. Why? Paul says to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, Paul says, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. So, how do we recognize a false preacher? I'm happy you asked. We know by what they do not teach. I've got three things I want you to write down. Something that you can use throughout your life. Three things that can detect a false preacher. The first is this. False teachers or preachers will not preach or teach on things like the holiness of God. They won't do it. They won't preach on the righteousness of God. They will not preach on the justice of God. They will not preach on the wrath of God. They will never bring up doctrines like the doctrine of hell. They will never tell people that they will go to hell. They will never preach also on sin. Sin is a four-letter word to them. If you would ask a false preacher if he personally believed in any of these teachings in Scripture, he may personally tell you, oh yeah. If you had a search committee looking for a preacher, they would personally tell you, yeah, I personally believe in all this. But the difference is, he will never preach it from the pulpit. You will always hear preachers like that preaching about God's love. But you will never hear them preach about the wrath of God. Please put that down. Secondly, false preachers will not preach on the fallenness of humanity, or they will not preach on the idea of the total depravity of humanity. I once recently heard of a prominent preacher once say that he doesn't preach on sin. He will never bring up sin in the pulpit. Why? Because people don't really need to hear it because people already know that they're sinners. Is that true? Do we really know? We know we make mistakes, right? We know we like to soft pedal it. We know like we like to justify our sin but yet condemn someone else, right? Jesus talked about don't judge lest you be judged. Get the plank out of your eye before you get the speck. Oh yeah, that's easy. Really? We don't know that we're sinners? He went on to say that God had called him to do differently. God has called him to build up people, to encourage people. Do you see that it's not what the false preacher or prophet says? Of course, we're to build up people and encourage them, but it's what the person does not say. Yes, as Christians, you are more loved and more accepted in Jesus Christ than you ever dared to hope. But please understand this, that you are also at the same time more sinful. You are more flawed in yourself than you ever dare to believe. That's the gospel. Thirdly, false preachers also water down the cross of Christ. What do I mean? They will talk about the death of Jesus on the cross. But the problem is they will not explain the nature of the atonement. I was talking to somebody this past week and with a group of people, and I started sharing the nature of Jesus' death on the cross, and they never heard of it before. It was a news flash to them. Why? Because preachers and too many never take the time to explain the nature of the atonement, which is what? Penal. The cross represents punishment. Punishment. As well as the cross is vicarious, substitutionary. In other words, Jesus was on the cross because we should have been on the cross. That Jesus suffered and died in our place. That vicarious, that penal, substitutionary death. You'll never hear that spoken about, ever. Of course, they will talk about the cross. They will sentimentalize the cross by making it man-centered and not God-centered. They will say things like this. If you want to see how much you are worth, look at the price God was willing to pay for you. Do you see how valuable you are to God? unquote. Now, it's true that humans do have value. It is true that every human being is not trash. God don't create junk. But it's not true to say Jesus died on the cross because we were worth it. Beloved, you were not worth it. If you were worth it, it would not be grace. Please understand that Jesus died on the cross because we were horrid wretches. Let that sink in. We were horrid wretches. We were, and guess what? We are still sinners who are unworthy. Now, if you doubt me, you remember that, what's that hymn? Amazing Grace. We should sing it later today. What does it say? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch like me. With these these ferocious wolves, they would have to change the title and the lyrics of the Amazing Grace. Now it would read and sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved such a wonderful, valuable, such a worthy, such a plain, fabulous specimen of a human being like me. Nonsense. I know that sounds a little funny. I don't really intend to be. I don't mind a little humor. But it's not funny. Beloved, that sort of twisting of the Bible is from the pit of hell. And let me say something this morning. Be careful. This is my concluding remarks. Be careful. Be careful. Jesus warns us of such prophets, especially in these last days. In the last days, Scripture teaches that we will have an intensity, an increasing of tribulation. And in the Bible, one of the prominent forms of tribulation in the last days, eschatological last, that's what I mean, is an increasing of false prophets who are ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing. Jesus is saying, because Jesus began the last days, we're in the last days when Jesus came. Jesus said there will be more false prophets in these days than it ever was in the Old Testament. So beware. So again, don't be arrogant this morning and do not take the words of Jesus and heed them because you think that you're too smart and you're too cute to be deceived. Let me say, your arms are too short to box with the devil. Be very careful who you listen to on TV. It's dangerous territory out there. Be careful who you listen to on the radio. Be careful, flock, who and what books and by whom you read. Be careful with the social media that you may go to. Beloved, know your Bibles. Beloved, know doctrine. Beloved, know your theology. And here at Starkdale, you have many, many opportunities that are available to you to know the whole counsel of God. First, you have it here in the pulpit where I do expository, continual preaching. There's a reason why this is Sermon 31 in just three chapters, because we are unlocking in context the Word of God. This is central. There's a reason for this. Secondly, we have Sunday school classes where we teach the Bible, Ephesians and Revelation. We have two studies during the week, one for the mornings for people who are not night owls, and those who have it in the evening for people who don't like to get up early, who have to work, and we're going through the book of Hebrews. And also with a men's breakfast. So we're starting up and we're doing some Puritan literature on a book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices for the Men. Why do we do that, men? Men, do you realize that you're the spiritual head of your household? You're the point person, and if Satan can take you out, he's taken out the entire family. Show up to the breakfast and study these things. As well as, we have the Calvin's Institute. I teach the Institutes of Calvin, not because Calvin is God and not because the Institutes is the Bible. It just happens to be Calvin was a premier, not only theologian, but Bible scholar, where we can discuss the Bible in context of how Calvin and other reformers understood it. Why are we doing that? We do it so we can have a better grasp of Scripture. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And in these last days, as we get closer to the return of Christ, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your warning. Yes, Lord, your scripture has encouragement. Yes, Lord, it has edification. But also, Lord, has warnings within it. And this is a very explicit warning, Lord Jesus, that you've given very explicitly to us. Lord, help us as the church, from all the elders, from the pastor, myself, and all the elders, and everybody in authority, to take these words seriously. But Lord, also have your people here to be aware of the wolves that are out there. Oh Lord Jesus, you warned us. You said there's many of them and many will fall away. Oh God, my heart breaks. So many, many people, not few, but so many are driven away from the biblical faith because of these wolves that are taking advantage of your people. Lord, let us never be said of this church. But Lord, let us never be said that we can do this in our strength. Oh Lord, humble us. Humble us, Lord. Let your word change us. Lord, we know that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. And Lord, by virtue of humbling ourselves and Lord, being changed by the word, Father, that you, Lord, humble us so that we will in turn be able to stand the wiles of the devil. Oh Lord, this is our prayer. And this is our legacy here for our church. Oh Father, we thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.